send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Thursday is important for Wisconsin's hundreds of election clerks. It's the deadline to send absentee ballots to voters who have requested one. Plus, for municipalities that will be using ballot boxes, clerks can formally open them. Use of absentee ballots has surged since the start of the pandemic. You still have time to request one. After Thursday, once you request your absentee ballot, your clerk's office has 24 hours to mail it to you. Taylor Swift's endorsement of presidential candidate Kamala Harris may coincide with a 47.5% increase in Wisconsin voter registration. Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris right after the presidential debate last week, Tuesday. Since then, Wisconsin voter registration has seen an increase of more than 1,300, according to Vote.org. There is no evidence that Taylor Swift directly influenced this number. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers are playoff bound. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. Milwaukee clinched the NL Central and a playoff spot when the Chicago Cubs lost Wednesday afternoon. Then the Brewers went ahead and beat the Phillies on a walk-off hit by Jake Bowers to cap off a huge day in Milwaukee. There's more to play for now for the Brewers, who will take on Arizona for four games beginning tonight to wrap up a seven-game homestand. The Packers have quarterback Jordan Love back at practice, but head coach Matt LaFleur said that Love is limited in his work this week. Malik Willis, who started last week in place of Love, said he's preparing as though he'll play this week, but said Love might also be available.
I just have to continue to try to absorb and learn this offense as best as I can and be able to execute on those things that we missed out on this weekend and learn from the film and continue to just grow. And that's if given the opportunity. Like you say, Jordan's feeling a lot better, so we can't say that he won't go this weekend. It's going to be on him how he feels and how comfortable he is, you know.
The Packers take on Tennessee this Sunday at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, my union buddy Earl Ingram Jr. will join me in studio. We'll talk about the lack of a Teamsters endorsement. Plus, can the GOP keep the government open? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 80. Tonight, slight chance of a thunderstorm, lows around 67. Friday, mostly sunny with a high around 79. Friday night, clear skies, a low of 62. Sunshine, 80 degrees on your Saturday. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, 65.
It's 51 at our studios.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joins us at 11:33. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Own.
Well, I thought we were on our way to a little bit of a break from this heat, but it does not look like it's happening today. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report for this, the 19th day of September. These temperatures, as we get closer to the beginning of fall, still holding pretty firm as far as daytime highs. Today, it looks like we'll touch out probably around the mid to upper 80s under sunny skies. Little bit of a breeze, but still a hot, dry day on the way. Now, like we said, the good news is that we'll probably see some rain start to move into Wisconsin later tonight into Friday morning. It looks like about a 70% chance of rain. The catch is it's not going to be real measurable. Friday, partly sunny, and it looks like daytime highs in the lower 80s. Saturday, 20% chance of showers, otherwise a sunny day. 86. Sunday, we're looking at the possibility of thunderstorms. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist, of course, as you know, on the way in about 15 minutes. We're also bringing you details this morning on World Dairy Expo 2024. You know, the industry had been a little concerned how many people were going to show up for this year's big event, given the concern over high path avian influenza and dairy herds. We're going to visit with Laura Hirschlip, General Manager of World Dairy Expo, and find out where the numbers stand. Also on the way this morning, Mike North, commodity specialist with EverAg, is going to be joining us live. So we've got a bushel basket full of information coming your way. This is the time of the year where you see your hard work pay off, don't you? If you've got a garden or if you've had a project in the backyard, you know what I'm talking about. Farmers, too. You planted seed this spring, regardless of how challenging the weather was, and now you're starting to see that you can reap the benefits. Well, that's the truth at Gwynnon Hill Farms, just outside of Waukesha. This farm consists of more than 400 acres in a largely urban setting. What they're doing? Trying to provide fresh produce for a lot of families in that area and also working in conjunction with the Hunger Task Force to spread their influence really across the state. I talked about it with Liz Lyon. She is the vegetable farm manager at Gwynnon Hill Farms. She helps to coordinate about 12 acres of high-volume organic vegetable production that go into their community-supported agriculture subscriptions. And it's interesting how Liz finds her way to an organic vegetable farm in Waukesha, Wisconsin. She actually grew up in an urban setting, found a lot of her interest in organic agriculture and farming in the Chicagoland area, but a unique opportunity in a special training program brought her to Waukesha. She explains.
And I ended up at Gwynnon Hill Farm through the Organic Vegetable Farm Manager Apprenticeship, which is a statewide apprenticeship program here in Wisconsin that started just a few years ago. So it's a two-year program where you learn on the job, paid on the job training of how to run an organic vegetable farm. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated and they hired me.
Excellent. That's a great story, and it also shows worth in some of the programs that we put together but don't follow up on. Interesting. Now, tell me about the farm. The acreage, you're not in charge of the whole farm per se, but you're in charge of a very important part of it.
So Gwynnon Hill Farm, here in Waukesha, we have 430 acres, and we do a lot of different things with that land. So we raise livestock. We have dairy cows, beef cattle, sheep, and laying hens. So a lot of our land is pasture because those animals are grass-fed. bread, so it's growing good nutrition for the animals. And then we also grow fruits and vegetables on about 20 acres combined between perennial fruits and then annual vegetable production.
Mm-hmm. Now, the vegetables are a sizable commitment, not necessarily as far as acres, but as far as staff and overall productivity.
Yes, the vegetable production takes most of our labor needs on the farm because it is really only 6 to 8 months out of the year that's the main growing season, but during that season it takes a lot of work to get all those vegetables planted, weeded, maintained, watered, and then harvested.
Yeah, 12 acres, is that right?
Yes, we have 12 acres of vegetables and plus two hoop houses that we use mainly in the spring, fall, and winter.
I was teasing Liz about all the balls that you got to keep juggling because those 12 acres are busy. Tell them about all the varieties of vegetables that you're trying to manage through.
Sure, so we grow over 50 different varieties of vegetables, and that's everything that you can think of that we could grow in Wisconsin. So we grow everything from asparagus to broccoli, cauliflower, zucchini, cucumbers, and then all the summer favorites like sweet corn, tomatoes, and then also a lot of storage crops like Brussels sprouts, yeah, potatoes, onions. Mm-hmm. So we try to have a good mix of all different season staple crops, plus a few special ones that are a little bit interesting and different, like celeriac and kohlrabi.
Now, before people get excited to run out to Gwynnon Hill Farms, you distribute all of what the farm produces in some very specific channels. Tell me about that.
So we most of our vegetables go to our CSA, so that's our Community Supported Agriculture Program, where people sign up at the beginning of the season and pick up here at the farm. So that is actually where most of our vegetables go. We have 280 shares through the main growing season, and then we also sell at the Brookfield Farmers Market, and we have a farm stand here at the farm that's open year-round.
Right, right. Now, how do you manage all of that, Liz? How many people are there to help you get through this? Because one thing Liz and I lamented is there's really no mechanization to help with the harvest or much of the planting or anything like that.
Yes, so almost all the work done with the vegetable farm is done by people, by hand, or with small hand tools, and then a few tractor tasks as well. So in the summer, in the growing season, we have 8 people who are working full-time all week on producing the vegetables.
Anytime that they can find it, for sure. Now, let's talk a little bit again. Liz Lyons, along with us, she is specifically in charge of vegetable production here at Gwynnon Hill Farm. Let's talk a little bit about how the growing season has been. You are just like any other farmer, a victim of weather in some situations, like this year. A really, really wet spring. How did that start adjusting your game plan before you barely even rolled the game plan out?
Yes. Well, we planted a lot of our things fairly late this year because of that wet spring, and it was a cool wet spring on top of that. Mm-hmm. So we got into the fields as soon as we could, and thankfully now we're here in September and it is hot and dry, so that's allowing some of the crops to keep going beyond when they normally would. So that's been good. At least we are extending the season on the back end of it, but it was a little tough to get into the field. So some of the things like tomatoes, sweet corn, and peppers were not ready as soon as a lot of people would have liked them to be ready. So we got a lot of questions about where are the tomatoes, and now they're finally here.
Right. In droves. I've walked through the fields. You know, you talk about your forward-facing to the community with your community-supported agriculture subscriptions, and they do talk, if not just because they're curious. How do you listen to them, Liz? How does their input play in what you're already thinking about for 2025?
Well, we want to make it easy and fun for people to eat a lot of different vegetables, so we want to give them a good experience and things that they're looking for. So a lot of people ask us for those staple crops, so mm-hmm. that is things like lettuce, salad mix, tomatoes, sweet corn, melon, and watermelon, all those exciting summer things. But those are also some of the most challenging things to grow in a lot of ways, so we try to balance that with things that can grow for over a longer season, things like cooking greens that people might not be as familiar with, so things like rainbow chard or even different varieties of kale, cabbage, things like that. So we try to listen to what people want and also try to include some new things into the vegetables that we're including in the share.
Sure, always have an ear. Now, like we said earlier, you are a part of the local food purchase Assistance Program, and that's something that a lot of people may not have heard about or even recognize the acronym. How has that helped Gwynn and Hill Farms and some of the things that you're invested in as far as crops and projects?
That's helped us in a lot of a few different ways. So one is that we have a guaranteed market for some of our produce that we might otherwise have a hard time selling, or we might not have a hard time selling it, but we just don't know, will we be able to sell everything that we grew by the end of the season. So the LFPA program with Hunger Task Force has been great for that, because we know exactly where that produce is going and it's essentially already sold. And then on the customer end of that, or the client end, we know that it's going to people who really need that food but who might not be able to access it for various reasons at something like our farm stand or a farmer's market. So we know and we love that the high quality, really nutritious food is going to people who need it through the Hunger Task Force.
You know, I want people also to understand this is a beautiful facility, wonderful acres. You're going to say, oh my God, over 400 acres in Waukesha. It's a special story. We won't get into it too deeply, but one question I asked you, Liz, is where does the money go? And like you said, right back into the farm and not necessarily looking at big profits this year.
Right. So every year is different, definitely, and Gwynn and Hill Farm is a relatively new farm in terms of how long the business has been around. Mm-hmm. So our CSA has been going since 2018. And the couple of years before that were really about building soil and building the infrastructure that we needed. So we are really just getting going and figuring out exactly what we're doing. But right now, everything that we make goes back into investing in current production and new ideas.
Sounds like a farmer, whether it's 12 acres of vegetables or 400 acres of corn, it always seems to be the same. Very good. Along with us, Liz Lyon, she's the manager of the vegetable aspect of Gwynn and Hill Farms here in, I can't say rural Waukesha, but just outside of Delafield, Waukesha, and serving the community with their more than 400 acres of overall production in very unique ways. And like we said, capitalizing on the local food product assistance program to try to do some of that. From Waukesha and Gwynn and Hill Farms, I'm Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that Just a Bit Outside the Movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie.
Yeah.
Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Keith Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, it's Thursday, so we make our popcorn pick of the week, and David Desimone, director of the Black Point Estate in Lake Geneva, joins the show to talk about Victorian spiritualism.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Shaw, WAUK.
301 Farm. That's 877-301-3276. I've been telling them I think something's going on because my friends from places like West Bend or elsewhere up in the Allentown area aren't talking to me. And I said, that's not like them. So if you could try to help me prove them either right or wrong, 877-301-FARM. Shoot me a text, 877-301-3276. Are you going to the Harvest Fair this weekend? That's going to get started. World Beef Expo also on the horizon. Both events taking place on just opposite ends of State Fair Park in West Dallas. And it looks like the weather's going to be just dandy. Stumach Ag Meteorologist along with us. I keep trying to smile through this forecast because today I'm going to be with the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association up by Chilton. They're unveiling the first of several NFL-themed corn mazes this fall to help build momentum and awareness about Wisconsin agriculture, Wisconsin ag tourism going into the draft. But I'm just imagining what I'm going to look like for that media presentation by 10 o'clock this morning in Chilton. As you are well aware, after our years and years of friendship, my friend, I don't hold up so well in this kind of heat.
Yeah, you're not alone. We all get to look a little draggy after it gets hot and dusty.
Well, you know, there's only so much I can do to keep the perspiration off my face, et cetera, and so forth. Today, we're going to be joined by some Packers officials up in Chilton to kind of help kick this off. So I'm going to try to dab where I can and move on through it. But, you know, if we're looking for a break in this heat, it looks like it's not going to come until, what, late tonight, in tomorrow morning, maybe?
Yeah, and even that's not going to be a real big break, Pam. I mean, those temps still above normal. Those normals have continued to fall. Maybe we haven't talked about that much. The warm spot, western Wisconsin, La Crosse, the normal high there should be about 74 today. For many of the rest of us, aside from the far southeast part of the state, low 70, 72, 73, that's a normal daytime high. We'll be in the 80s again today. Very warm, you know, not sticky, but very warm. And if you're working outside, that sun warms you up in a big hurry. That's how it works. Oh, there's a cool front out to the west, that strong low that moved out of Montana, pushing up towards southern Canada today. And there's a band of scattered showers from International Falls, north central Minnesota, down through eastern Minnesota, just tapering into north parts of Iowa. It's not going to push east very quickly or hold together this morning, but some rain chances developing in western Wisconsin even later this afternoon and overnight as we head further east and into tomorrow, ending early in the day. They're not going to see a whole lot of rain, with the exception of maybe in the far northwest. Everybody else a little lighter amount, but it could cool it off a few degrees for Friday. We warm it up again Saturday. More rain chances Saturday night into Sunday with some cooler air behind that as we look to early next week. I'll have that forecast right after this.
They are my go-to for my tailgate. Yep. Bavaria Sausage, that's what I'm talking about. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, check out their website, BavariaSausage.com, for all the flavor selections you can feature at your tailgate. They are going through an upgrade on that website, so keep checking back often. You can also find out more on their Facebook page. If you're in the Madison area, check out their retail location at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. That's where you'll find my Berkey Brats, one of my favorites. And remember, their store hours have expanded Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturdays, 9 until 1. Don't miss an opportunity with the weather that we've been given. Get out there and tailgate and enjoy it with your neighbors and impress them with the flavors that you select. Bavaria Sausage will get you on your way. Again, check back often because their website's going through updates, BavariaSausage.com or the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, and you tell them the Farm Babe sent ya. I'm glad to report that we do indeed have a good functioning talk text line. Thank you so much, you early risers, for clearing that up for me. All right, Stu, clear up this forecast. When's the rain coming?
Well, that chance starts to build into far northwest Wisconsin. Park Falls late today, Eau Claire toward evening, and La Crosse evening into the nighttime. Sunshine otherwise, and still a very mild day.
low 80s in the west, mid 80s further east and south. The south wind's about 5 to 10. We all have that chance of some rain. Showers are an isolated storm through the night, ending from west to east at latest early tomorrow morning in far eastern Wisconsin. Most of us were talking trace amounts to a quarter inch, could be heavier, upwards of an inch or more in far northwest Wisconsin tonight. By tomorrow, the sun breaks on out. Upper 70s and low 80s with southwest breezes. More sunshine on Saturday. Could be some rain, though, toward late in the day, and maybe mid to late afternoon in the west, and temps in the low to mid 80s Saturday, Pam, and then low 70s Sunday with a bit of a rain chance.
Well, the rain chance is what we are all keeping our fingers crossed for. All right, buddy, catch up with you tomorrow. We'll figure out what the odds are and what the volume looks like, okay?
Sounds good. See you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, joining us on a Thursday morning with an update on your weather. We've got an update on the marketplace. You know, dairy has been catching a lot of attention lately. What's going on with dairy? They raised dropped interest rates. Does that matter? Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke. Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick tip for folks with any money or investments, big or small. That tip is, add a trusted contact to your bank or brokerage accounts. A trusted contact is the person that you authorize your bank or financial institution to contact in certain circumstances. You know, like if they can't reach you, or they suspect you might be sick, or if they see any signs of financial foul play. Trusted contacts do not have access to your money. They can only do things like help your bank reach you or confirm if you're having a health crisis. This isn't just my idea, by the way. The Securities and Exchange Commission and most banks and investment houses also recommend it. Extra safety that costs nothing to set up? Yeah, smart and free always works for me. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's the red alert, the
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to fake.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Lawmakers in the House have voted down a plan to keep the government from running out of money October 1st. Their objection? A mandate that would require voters to show proof of citizenship for federal elections. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
Congress has an obligation to fund the government, and Congress has an obligation to ensure that our elections are secure and fair and free.
Officials say Iranian hackers sent information stolen from Donald Trump's campaign to President Biden's. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
There's no evidence that the Biden team responded to those emails. The Biden campaign said it condemns any election interference in the strongest terms.
Tension is high in Beirut after 2 days of deadly electronics explosions. Hugo Bachega.
There's a lot of anger across the country because of the extent of these attacks. Many of these explosions happened as people were shopping, people were at home with their families.
Hugo's with the BBC. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Thursday is important for Wisconsin's hundreds of election clerks. It's the deadline to send absentee ballots to voters who have requested one. Plus, for municipalities that will be using ballot boxes, clerks can formally open them. Use of absentee ballots has surged since the start of the pandemic. You still have time to request one. After Thursday, once you request your absentee ballot, your clerk's office has 24 hours to mail it to you. Taylor Swift's endorsement of presidential candidate Kamala Harris may coincide with a 47.5% increase in Wisconsin voter registration. Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris right after the presidential debate last week, Tuesday. Since then, Wisconsin voter registration has seen an increase of more than 1,300, according to Vote.org. There is no evidence that Taylor Swift directly influenced this number. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers are playoff bound. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. Milwaukee clinched the NL Central and a playoff spot when the Chicago Cubs lost Wednesday afternoon. Then, the Brewers went ahead and beat the Phillies on a walk-off hit by Jake Bowers to cap off a huge day in Milwaukee. There's more to play for now for the Brewers, who will take on Arizona for four games beginning tonight to wrap up a seven-game homestand. The Packers have quarterback Jordan Love back at practice, but head coach Matt LaFleur said that Love is limited in his work this week. Malik Willis, who started last week in place of Love, said he's preparing as though he'll play this week, but said Love might also be available.
I just have to continue to try to absorb and learn this offense best as I can and be able to execute on those things that we missed out on this weekend and learn from the film and continue to just grow. And that's if given the opportunity. Like you say, Jordan's feeling a lot better, so we can't say that he won't go this week, and it's going to be on him how he feels and how comfortable he is, you know.
The Packers take on Tennessee this Sunday at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live on location from Cheese Days in Monroe. We will bring you all the action, yodelers, and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 80. Tonight, slight chance of a thunderstorm, lows around 67. Friday, mostly sunny with a high around 79. Friday night, clear skies, a low of 62. Sunshine, 80 degrees on your Saturday. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, 65.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Voting in state and local elections is at risk for an estimated 97,000 longtime Arizona voters due to a proof of citizenship data tracking problem at the DMV. Three facts to start. The Arizona Mirror and VoteBeat report that Arizonans have had to provide proof of citizenship for driver's licenses since 1996. State driver's licenses aren't routinely renewed until after age 65, and Arizona began requiring proof of citizenship for voting in 2005. Beginning in 2005, election officials ask existing voters with licenses issued before 1996 for proof of citizenship. But if a driver's license issued before 1996 needed to be replaced, it was given a new date of issue. Election officials then didn't know to ask for citizenship documents for an estimated 97,000 voters. The Arizona Secretary of State announced the problem September 17th. In addition to its full ballot with local, state, and federal races, Arizona also has a federal-only ballot used by many Native Americans and students who sometimes don't have or have available citizenship documents. Worst case, the 97,000 affected voters could use the federal-only ballot, but the Secretary of State was advocating for allowing those voters to vote with the full ballot in November. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Short enough last week.
Spent most of my day yesterday visiting with folks that were in Wisconsin to discuss federal milk marketing orders. Yes, I will be honest, pretty heavy conversation. It's a very complex group of rules that guideline kind of how we move milk in the United States, more importantly, how we price milk in the United States. Dairy industry is still very much up in the air about what the conclusion is going to look like of all these conversations. But it is also going to be a topic of discussion during World Dairy Expo 2024. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 19th day of September. In just moments, Laura Hirschlib, General Manager of World Dairy Expo, is going to talk a little bit more about some of the program and educational emphasis that the show brings back to the Alliant Energy Center grounds. The other big question that we had is what's going on with cattle numbers? The dairy industry as a whole on guard and very alert about high path avian influenza that showed up in dairy herds in different regions of the United States, not here in Wisconsin. So what are we doing to try to protect our borders even as we host the granddaddy of the dairy shows? That's on the way. So today is the 19th day of September. What can I tell you? First, a lot of happy birthdays. Happy birthday today to actor Jeremy Irons. He is 76 years young. Twiggy, who really made a lot of her fame modeling in the, well, what would it be, the 70s? She's 75 today. Trisha Yearwood, Mrs. Garth, is 60 years young. And actor-comedian Jimmy Fallon, he turns 50 today as well. And now you know. Let's continue that thought on World Dairy Expo 2024 on the horizon. But one of the big questions that a lot of people had in the dairy and outside of the dairy industry, what's happening with cattle movement? Will people bring their milking dairy cows to Wisconsin? See, Wisconsin requires paperwork to come along with those animals to guarantee that they are free of high path avian influenza. Laura Hirschlib, General Manager of World Dairy Expo, says right now, numbers look great.
In terms of our dairy cattle entry numbers, we have just about just under, like 20 head under, 3,000 head entered for this year's show, which is very similar to where we have been the last years, which is remarkable to me. And then when we think about our trade show, we have about 600 companies that will be represented and having booths within our exhibition hall, Coliseum, and trade center areas. So it's really amazing when we think about those numbers all coming together. And I think it just speaks to how special, it's a one-stop shop, right? You know, you can come to World Dairy Expo and see the world's greatest dairy cattle, the cutting-edge technology being showcased in our trade show, educational presentations, over 50 educational presentations, and then youth competitions, and not to mention the camaraderie, right? Yeah. It all comes back around. So it's just something that's so special. And I mean, I can't believe that it's here. I don't know where the year has gone.
Right. Now, one issue that we can't deny has been the high path avian influenza that impacted dairy herds in some states, not Wisconsin. Wisconsin put some fairly stringent testing requirements in place
months ago. Mm-hmm. How has that conversation gone with your dairy cattle exhibitors, Laura?
Yeah, so we have a very strong relationship with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection, veterinarians, their mm-hmm. team, and certainly our veterinarians involved with the show, as well as UW Vet School. So we have been talking for months. We have been working to find ways in which we can have a cattle show and a cow show. Mm-hmm. And we could get to where we are today without those partnerships, without working together to find amicable solutions. And things are a little different this year, right? For all lactating or all milking animals that are coming into World Dairy Expo, they are required to have a negative influenza A test. We are also offering the option of late arrivals and or early releases, which is something that is unique, only being offered this year because of HPAI. The reason for that is because each state has different travel requirements in which animals can travel on a negative test. And so we empower our dairy cattle exhibitors to know and work with their herd veterinarian to figure out, what do I need to do to get to Expo and what do I need to do to get back home? And we're going to be as accommodating as we possibly can. But it's been a fluid situation, and it's one that we are really thankful for understanding folks all across the board, from our exhibitors to our vets, working to find, a solution.
So healthy numbers lined up for World Dairy Expo. Their theme this year, the Golden Age. The show officially begins on October 1st at the Alliant Energy Center grounds in Madison. But to be honest with you, we'll already start to see vendors moving into place, cattle coming in to get acclimated to Wisconsin's weather and climate, probably beginning around the 28th of September. So a lot of moving parts on the way in Dane County for the 2024 World Dairy Expo. Take a quick break. Don't forget, Mike North, commodity specialist with EverAg, is on the way to join us live this morning. Markets in Chicago right now, despite all the excitement about the Federal Reserve lowering interest rates yesterday, it hasn't done a doggone thing for our commodities. Markets and more news are around the corner.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Wisconsin is known for its incredible variety of cheese, and no event showcases that better than Cheese Fair Off the Square. Rachel Kerr, Vice President of Brand Marketing for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, highlights the excitement and diversity that makes this event stand out. From discovering new favorites to experiencing the artistry behind cheesemaking, attendees will have the chance to explore the best of Wisconsin's cheesemakers.
It's crazy how much people just want to try everything they possibly can. I mean, last year there were people who spent well over an hour just making their way around to all the tents, trying every cheese, trying to figure out which one, you know, was maybe their new favorite. And I think that's what's so unique and so special about Wisconsin, is that we have so much variety. We have so many different products by makers that are just doing different things. And this is a chance for us to let people explore that and be excited about what's coming out of the state and explore and taste the innovation and the new products and the different flavors and the artistry that goes into cheese making.
Learn more at wisconsindairy.org.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
So as we get started on a Thursday morning, as far as the markets are concerned, the Federal Reserve announcing a lower interest rate didn't do much for us in commodities. Now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average looks nice and robust overnight, but our grain markets certainly do not. Currently, December corn's down 2 at 4.11. November soybeans are unchanged at 10.14. The December wheat, that's down 6 right now at 5.70 a bushel. Dairy was all over the place yesterday. Barrel cheese gained 5 3/4 cents to 2.62 1/4. But 40-pound block cheese dropped 3.25 to 224.5, while the butter also dropped 8 cents in a day to $3.5 per pound. We'll be talking more about why such drastic moves in dairy with Mike North coming your way in just a moment. As far as the markets in overnight trade are concerned, October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's currently down three at $23.57. November Class 3 cheese milk up a dime, $22.93 a hundredweight. Hey, I want you to follow me on social media today. If you are interested in Wisconsin agritourism, I'm going to do my best to give you breaking news as it happens. Today, the Wisconsin Ag Tourism Association is going to begin unveiling some NFL-themed corn mazes across the state of Wisconsin. They've asked me to be a part of the program. There will also be Green Bay Packers personnel that are part of the program. We'll be joined, obviously, by the host farms. We're going to start off at 10 a.m. this morning in Chilton at Polly's Pumpkin Patch, where they will reveal their NFL-themed corn maze for this fall, and we'll find out a little bit more on how we're trying to build excitement for the draft 2025 that's going to be held up in Green Bay. So if you want to follow me, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook or Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. I'm going to try to make sure I've got messages going out across both of those platforms. And another big congratulations to a buddy of mine, Melanie Miller. I'll bet a lot of you know her if you've been involved with 4-H, World Beef Expo, a lot of county fairs. Between 1978 and 2011, she was all about Wisconsin 4-H. She started her career in Sauk County as a 4-H agent. I met her in northwest Wisconsin in Dunn County, where she was a 4-H agent. For years, she was part of the 4-H program at the Wisconsin State Fair. She's been at county fairs as judges. I mean, she just never stops. And because of that commitment to Wisconsin 4-H, she is now going to be inducted into the National 4-H Hall of Fame. The event's going to be happening in Boise, Idaho on October 14th. Mel also wanted me to let all of you know that if you would like to see the ceremony, they are going to be streaming it online from Boise to let all of us fans here in Wisconsin see it. So we'll do our best to put a link up so that you can watch along with me October 14th as our friend Melanie Miller is inducted in to the National 4-H Hall of Fame. Well-deserved. Way to go, Mel. Coming up next, well, what way are dairy markets going today and what's the influence? We'll talk about it with Mike North, broker specialist with Everag out of Platteville. He joins us live next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
But you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old and as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son
I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll head a little east of Madison to talk to a candidate for assembly in this week's Women Win Wisconsin, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Conference that went on brought a lot of folks in from a lot of different regions in the United States to discuss it. First thing across everybody's lips, the tightening milk supply situation in the United States. Any way we can tie that with what happened yesterday with the Fed lowering interest rates? Does this boon good news for dairy?
Well, the supply story has been one of the biggest bolsters for this run that we've had in prices, and now staring at nearby prices at $24, which puts us in incredibly rare air. This represents about 1% of milk price history. You don't get to this price without a couple really big stories. Supply has been one, right? We've talked for a long time about shortness of heifers as we look at beef breeding programs. And we look at quotas that have been put in place by, different processors and co-ops across the country. And we look at the rising interest rate as the cost of capital has, together with those things, inhibited expansion. And, as you look at the change in interest rates, yes, potentially that starts to lift some of that burden off as we look at loans for construction. And I think the other part of the question is what does that do more broadly to the consumer as we start to come through this seasonal peak? And will some optimism in consumer circles start to come back to the demand side of the equation? But yeah, supply of late being also touched by, the HPAI, bird flu, as it's commonly called, most recently making its appearance in California, of course, internationally, blue tongue disease in Europe. There's a real attack on supply. And so I think, that's what helped get us here. Now we have to ask the question, like we do in every one of these up cycles, can the consumer at these prices continue to carry us?
Right. Well, Mike Dorth, commodity specialist with EverAg, along with us. You can find him online, ever.ag. The other conversation that was had yesterday, Mike, is this a signal to dairy producers to think about reversing their trends? Everybody's been breeding their dairy animals to beef to capitalize on the fantastic beef market. But with this situation coming on, is it time to rethink our breeding program?
Yeah, that question is being asked for certain. And in fact, there are producers that have already started to swing in the other direction, just as opportunists looking at, springers at $3,300. Who wouldn't want to sell that? But the challenge right now has been feed. And so the magic to that question lies in feed prices. And, this morning we stare at corn prices down a few cents and meal back, under $3.20 on spot. And so keeping feed price low will help change that because, part of that cost of moving that calf to that magic age where you can sell her as a heifer is feed. And so if we can keep feed prices lower, I think you'll see that shift start to happen more dramatically. And that's certainly something that as we look at feed supplies domestically and globally, that will play heavily into that conversation. So the movement lower, I believe, Pam, yes, will attract more into that particular space.
I'm curious, Mike, you mentioned earlier about how processors had been putting their own quotas into effect. Are you getting any vibe from anybody about those being relaxed? Are they signaling to dairy producers, bring it?
Yeah, especially in different parts of the country. And even as you, look more broadly, and in some co-ops, they're actually voting to remove the quota altogether, just to eliminate that language from the playbook. Because at this stage in the game, I think everybody realizes that tool was good for the moment, but nobody wants to talk about it again. Because it did hold back several people from taking that next step forward a couple of years ago when they wanted to. Because if we go back a couple of years, remember $23, $24 milk in 2022 that helped, send the signal. And if we would have already been expanding, we wouldn't be in the place that we're at right now. But I think for a lot of dairymen, they're looking at this market right now going, okay, well, we kept supply short. Prices returned back to these levels within 18 months. Is this going to be a discussion where we need to, really kind of slow down the dialogue and think about what we want in the end? I think that's going to become problematic, though, as you intermingle in circles like the one you were yesterday with FMMO and the government that wants a cheap food policy.
Yeah. Mike North joining us with Meaningful Conversation from EverAg. You can find them online if you're looking at risk management, ever.ag. Mike, always appreciate it. All right, folks, I'll be up in Chilton later today. Follow along.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's a
gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Today, a very unhappy ending for a grain bin incident on a Nebraska farm. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
So far this week, we've had stories with farmers who were severely injured on their farms but still survived. Today is different. Kadrian Livingston was only 10 years old in 2008 when her father, Craig, died working in a grain bin.
Dad was at the neighbor's house a couple miles down the road, and actually he had just gotten into farming a year prior to that. Dad had been a rancher his whole life. And in Nebraska, farming and ranching is very, very different. My dad didn't know the dangers, the way that grain can take you, what we call the quicksand of the Midwest. The auger had quit working, and so he was having to grain back the rest of the grain out. There were about 500 bushels of grain left when he was in the bin, and there was only one other guy with him, a trucker, and the trucker had stepped away to go move the truck forward to finish out filling the truck, and when he came back, all he saw were my dad's hands.
Kadrian Livingston is now a safety manager for Viterra, promoting safety and health for employees at grain elevators in her region. Tomorrow, I'll talk about a feature film that also focuses on grain bin safety. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, my union buddy Earl Ingram Jr. will join me in studio. We'll talk about the lack of a Teamsters endorsement. Plus, can the GOP keep the government open? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training, plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.